Hello, I'm Steve Davis. Welcome to this podcast for Australia's National Centre for Vocational Education Research. Students from lower socioeconomic status backgrounds have much lower participation rates in higher education than students of higher socioeconomic status. While strategies are in place to encourage disadvantaged pupils to apply for university at age 18, a new paper, Widening Participation in Higher Education, Analysis Using Linked Administrative Data, suggests the majority of the socioeconomic difference in higher education participation, including at high-status institutions, arises as a result of substantial socioeconomic differences in educational achievement earlier in life. To discuss this paper, I'm joined by one of its authors, Professor Lorraine Dearden, Professor of Economics at the Institute of Education, University of London, and Director of Education Research at the Institute for Fiscal Studies, London. Lorraine, what prompted this research to be undertaken?
What prompted the research was the fact that kids from low socioeconomic backgrounds had very low higher education participation rates in the United Kingdom. And what was happening was the policy response was focusing on what universities could do to possibly reduce this socioeconomic gap. And what we decided to do the research for was to see whether, in fact, universities could play any role in reducing this gap, or whether it was arising because of things that were happening earlier in a person's life. So that was the motivation. We had a suspicion that the policy focus wasn't focusing on the right stage of a person's life.
From what you've seen in the research, when do students of lower socioeconomic status start showing signs of veering away from a pathway towards higher education?
In the United Kingdom, I'm not sure what the case is in Australia, we see large socioeconomic gaps emerging as early as the age of three, so before kids even get to school. And this is because what's happening in the home, that there's big differences in their background, but also what's happening in the home. And then that gap continually increases up until about the age of 14. And then it sort of stays at about the same level and continues through to higher education.
Can we look more closely at what prompts this decision, this movement away from a disinclination towards moving to higher education? What are the factors? Are they nutritional? Is it family, role models? What's going on?
A lot of things. So very early on, we find it very hard to explain about a third of the difference. But the main explanators of the difference, say at the age of three, are family background, parental education and background, but interestingly, things that are happening in the home. So things like the home learning environment, how often parents read to their kids, take them to the library, that explains about 16% of the difference in socioeconomic outcomes at the age of three. And then as you move to higher ages, factors in the most important determinant of gaps is earlier academic outcomes, so which have been influenced by all those things I just said, but then things like parental attitudes and students' attitudes to learning also have a role in explaining these gaps. So it's a number of things. It's not just parental background and socioeconomic background. It's a lot of things that happen in the home. It's also how kids, their attitudes towards education, which of course might be a function of their family background, but it's these other factors, attitudes and beliefs, also play a role in these socioeconomic gaps.
Now, in the paper, there's reference to the fact that poor academic achievement does tend to reflect a child not pursuing a pathway towards higher education. But then I saw that you were referring to students of lower socioeconomic status with good academic outcomes still having a greater likelihood not to pursue higher education than their more advantaged fellow students. What's happening at that point?
Okay, so basically, even if we look at students' outcomes at the age of 18, so their academic qualifications when they're applying to university, there is still a difference in university participation rates, but it's not, you know, 40 percentage points like if you just look at the raw statistics, but there's still about a 5 percentage point gap. For equivalent children, the only difference is one comes from a poor family background, parents who aren't in good jobs or are on benefits compared to those in the top. So they're even even if we're taking kids who have managed, despite their circumstances, to succeed academically, there is still a difference, albeit a much more modest difference.
And what are higher education institutions doing at the moment generally to try and attract these disadvantaged students to enrol?
Well, there's a number of policies. So the higher education institutions each higher education institution has to put in, before they get funding from government, what they're doing to try and encourage participation from typically low participation groups. So every single higher education institution, before it gets its funding, has to have its widening participation agenda agreed. And this will involve offering students bursaries to attend universities, so giving them upfront grants which they don't have to repay to encourage them. It involves sometimes giving fee discounts, and it involves visiting schools. It involves having partnerships with schools to try and get students who don't typically go to university to apply to universities. So there's that sort of... universities undertaking that sort of activity, but also the government, that the whole higher education funding system is very progressive. There is no upfront payment for going to university in the United Kingdom. So you can get loans for fees. If you're from a poor socioeconomic background, you get a generous grant, and you can also have loans to help you with living costs. And then you do not pay until you are earning over £21,000 a year, so around $35,000 Australian dollars. And then you pay only 9% of every pound you earn over £21,000. So it means, and after 30 years, your debt is written off. So what it means in the UK context is over half of students never pay back the full cost of their university education.
But are you arguing that these incentives could be more effective if their roots went deeper into the earlier stages of life of lower socioeconomic students?
Well, I think the problem is by the time we get to 18, the socioeconomic gaps are not that big. You know, there's still a 5 percentage point gap, but it's not a 40 percentage point gap. So it might help a few students go to university if they understand the system properly. But in order to really narrow that raw gap, you've got to act much, much earlier. So I think it's all very well concentrating on ways of supporting students in higher education and getting universities to try and encourage applications at 18, but that is not going to solve the problem. It's only the tip of the iceberg. And if you really want to reduce the socioeconomic gap in higher education, you've got to start acting before kids get to school and in primary schools. Really concentrate on trying to lower the socioeconomic gap in academic attainment. Now, that's very easy to say. You know, all our policy focus should be aimed at narrowing that socioeconomic gap, but it's pretty hard. There's not much evidence on cost-effective ways of doing that.
Are there any models that are working that are worth reviewing in greater detail?
Well, I mean, one interesting aspect of our research shows that, you know, the very early home learning environment, as I mentioned earlier, makes a really big difference. And perhaps that suggests that programs which encourage parents to read to their child every day, activities like that, which engage their kids in good practices before they go to school, might be effective. But you know, there hasn't been rigorous trials of initiatives that might be able to improve the home learning environment of children. You know, we're confident if they could improve the home learning environment that children face around the age of three before they start school, then this could have a big impact. But pointing to a particular program that would change behaviour in parents from low socioeconomic backgrounds is much more difficult to identify. We see that kids who come from poor backgrounds who have good home learning environments have equivalent outcomes to those from higher socioeconomic backgrounds. You know, you can see that in the data, but there is a really, really steep socioeconomic gradient in home learning environment. It's even steeper than the academic outcomes or the measures of cognitive ability at the age of three.
Of course, we're looking at higher education institutions here from a vocational education and training perspective. Are there insights that sector can gain from your research?
Yes, I think there is. The socioeconomic gaps in sort of the vocational route aren't as big as in the higher education route. Indeed, a lot of kids from poorer socioeconomic backgrounds do eventually get to higher education through the vocational educational route. And one weakness of our study is that all we can look at with this data, which is data on every single child in the state system and private system in the UK, is that we can only see people entering higher education at the age of 18 or 19. So our work might be overstating the socioeconomic gap because other data sources suggest that kids from lower socioeconomic backgrounds might eventually get to higher education through non-traditional routes, and we are completely ignoring this. So I don't know if it's a lesson for vocational educational, but our research might be overstating the gap because we are not only looking at higher education participation at the age of 18 and 19, and we're not looking at it further on. We could eventually, but we just don't have the data at the moment. That would be an interesting research question for future research.
Thanks for listening to this podcast produced by the National Centre for Vocational Education Research. Lorraine's work is widely published, but if you'd like to read the paper, Widening Participation in Higher Education, Analysis Using Linked Administrative Data, look for the links on the podcast introduction on our website at www.ncver.edu.au.